Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James. And before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
The alarm has been raised, and the bank has been robbed. A handful of thugs run from the building carrying sacks with dollar bill signs emblazoned on the outside. The crew piles into a generic-looking van and drives away. It is then that thwaps can be heard by those with the keenest hearing as webbing latches onto the front and back of the van and pushes it into a nearby wall where it sticks. Spider-Gwen saunters up to the van looking to see who's feeling brave tonight. It is then, again, that the side door of the van slides open and Bane steps out to greet her. No words need be exchanged here. Both of them know that a true slobber knocker is imminent. It's Gwen versus Eduardo. It's New York City versus Gotham City. It's Ghost Spider versus Bane. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stekanis. Legion of Audience, our faithful fan base, today's episode brings together another epic Marvel and DC crossover event that, unlike our last one, clearly provides a villain versus hero scenario. In one corner, you have Bane, DC Comics' ruthless tactician and physical powerhouse known for breaking Batman's back in the iconic Nightfall storyline. And in the other corner, you have Spider-Gwen, a.k.a. Ghost Spider, an alternate universe version of Gwen Stacy in Marvel Comics, who gains spider powers, becoming the heroic Spider-Woman in her world. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed, and yet again, the Who Would Win show has found a matchup that, by the looks of it, has never been discussed ever before. Get ready for a premier geek culture battle, Legion of Audience. Ray, I gotta know, what are your thoughts in today's matchup?
I'm fascinated by this battle. Now, Spider-Gwen, a.k.a. Ghost Spider, has never been on the show before, but Bane has. Bane somehow found himself on the losing end against SpongeBob SquarePants in one of the oddest battles we've ever done on the show, and I'm still feeling that one years later. This time, you've got Bane, and I'm going to pull back the curtain just a little bit. My kid, she turns 7 years old. this weekend. And as a present to her, her favorite character in all of fiction is Ghost Spider Gwen Stacy. And so I said, as a gift, she can't appreciate it now. But years down the road, maybe she will. I would like to take Ghost Spider and see what we can do. Let's go.
Wow, you're putting me in a tough spot.
Wow, are you going to ruin a child's birthday, James Gavsey?
Look, I've accidentally and unintentionally done that before, and now you're asking me to do that, you know, with the purest of, I feel like a horrible human being. Look, here's the deal. Of course, I want your daughter to have a wonderful birthday present and what have you. At the same time, I got to be me. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know what? I'll just do the best I can. This match is really throwing me because it's almost giving off a little bit of a Twilight Sparkle versus Lobo type of vibe.
That's fair.
I'm repping Bane, an evil villain, and you're repping the heroic Gwen Stacy Ghost Spider. I mean, this is just really, really crazy. I just don't know what's going to happen. So I think our judge might be perfect for today's episode, oddly enough, because it is such an odd matchup. Let's find out. Making another appearance on the Who to Win show. Yeah, you guessed it. It's podcaster extraordinaire. It's fan favorite judge. It's Robert Clark Chan. Robert, welcome back to Who Would Win.
I am not just the fan favorite. I am the host favorite because I don't know if you know this or not. COVID's still here. And when COVID strikes, look who steps in to fill the void.
Yeah, it's good. COVID is going around really huge right now. Look, I got it. I know a bunch of other people who have gotten it. And you're right. Our judges keep getting it and keep having to bow out. And who's got this constitution like a vending machine? Robert Clark Chan. That's who.
I mean, not so much that I have a great constitution. It's just that it's timed for proper podcast recording. Like when I get my when the kid gives me something, it happens on the off days. So
listen, Robert, you are indeed a fantastic, you know, example of a man, if we could say that. I have this on paper from the production team saying, please read the following. So in air quotes, Robert, you have been often described as the thinking man's Tyrannosaurus. 10 out of 9 doctors agree that you are the cure for 9 out of 10 diseases. And ChatGPT named you the sexiest man in the Matrix. Take that, singularity. Tell the Legion of Audience not just how great you are, but what you've been up to lately.
Well, I've been working my little Tyrannosaurus arms, and yeah, they're looking pretty buff. Still can't scratch my own chin, but we're getting there. Not a lot's been going. Well, I mean, I do have some live shows here in Los Angeles lined up. I'm going to be performing at the Alamo Draft House. It's a fun place to do stuff. Got some stuff going on at the Open Fist Theater happening next month. Next month, I think. Yeah. So, yeah, getting back into performing after the long drought.
Wow. That's insane. Robert, you know, I got to ask you, there's a lot to this episode, a lot on the line. As you heard, Ray's daughter, you know, her birthday is here. This is a birthday episode, a present, if you will, for Ray's daughter. Does that change your approach to judging this Who Would Win battle?
Here's the thing. Have I ruined a child's birthday party? No. Have I ruined dozens of children's birthday parties? Yes. Mm. Am I going to ruin this one? Who's to say? But I will say, no matter which way it goes now, the true birthday gift for Ray's daughter will be in about 10 years when she listens back to this. And she listens to me humiliating Ray, she's going to be over the moon.
Wow. The thinking man's judge. I you're playing 4D chess before you even have to play 4D chess. Well done, Robert Clark Chan. All right, Ray, let's see what happens. I'm hoping it's a wonderful birthday for your daughter and for everyone else who celebrates birthdays. Until that time where we figure out who wins this, just do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Marvel Comics, the hero who, despite the name, outlived Casper, Ghost Spider. And representing DC Comics, the villain who puts the lucha in Libre, Bane.
Well done, Ray. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed, and the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit sayword.co/collections. That's sayword.co/collections. And click on the Who Would Win merch section to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts, hats, hoodies, and our very own proprietary Who Would Win 3D printed versus stand. It's awesome. Trust me. And now let's get to the tale of tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Ghost Spider.
Ghost Spider, aka Spider-Gwen, is an alternate Gwen Stacy who gained her own spider powers in Earth-65. She was created by Jason Latour and Robbie Rodriguez and first appeared in Edge of Spider-Verse number 2 way back in 2014. As we all know in the original comics, Gwen Stacy was Spider-Man's girlfriend who famously died in The Amazing Spider-Man number 121 back in 1973. However, in an alternate universe, she not only lives on but thrives with her spider-based powers, sadly also killing her version of Peter Parker, who after she got the spider bite, he developed the lizard serum to try to become a hero himself. Pretty wild. She has roughly the same power set as Spider-Man, except instead of being scientifically minded like Peter, Gwen has more of an eye for being a detective and noticing things. Fun fact, following in the footsteps of such legends as Russell Crowe, Jason Schwartzman, Zooey Deschanel, and Macaulay Culkin, Gwen Stacy is also in a band. That's right, Gwen Stacy and several other women, such as Mary Jane Watson, Betty Brant, and Glory Grant, form a band in their universe called the Mary Janes. Gwen plays drums, and no doubt, having spider powers must help her be awesome as a drummer. Has Bane ever fronted a band? Well, I'll let James Gavsey answer that one. And that is Ghost Spider.
To answer your question, the answer is yes. And here are the important details for Bane. Bane, a formidable foe in the DC Universe, was created by Dennis O'Neill, Chuck Dixon, Doug Mensch, and Graham Nolan. He first appeared in Batman, Vengeance of Bane, in January of 1993. Born in the notorious Peña Duro prison in Santa Prisca, Bane was condemned to serve his father's life sentence. Within the harsh confines of the prison, Bane became a dominant force, eventually subjected to the experimental super steroid called Venom, which enhanced his already impressive physical ability. Driven by haunting dreams of a demonic bat and stories of a fearsome creature in Gotham City, Bane escaped his prison with a singular goal: to defeat Batman. After reaching Gotham, Bane meticulously orchestrated a plan to weaken Batman by forcing him to face a gauntlet of Arkham Asylum's escaped inmates. In his climactic encounter, Bane did the unthinkable and broke Batman's back, cementing his status as one of the Dark Knight's most dangerous adversaries. Since then, Bane has remained a persistent threat, sometimes clashing with Batman and the world at large, while at other times aligning himself with morally ambiguous groups like the Secret Six or the Suicide Squad. And here's an interesting fact about Bane. Did you know that a fellow Batman villain absolutely hates them? It's true. Look, sometimes villains can work well together and sometimes they just can't. So it seems that none other than the Joker himself absolutely hates Bane. Why? Because according to the Joker, Bane has all the tools to succeed, but in his eyes is a complete and utter disappointment and absolute failure as a villain, simply because he has not measured up to the literally insane standards that the Joker set up for Bane in the first place. I don't get how that works. It just works for the Joker somehow, some way. When it comes to rating villains, is it that surprising that the Joker has such high standards? I don't think so. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Robert, do you have any questions before we get started?
What band was Bane in?
Well, Bane was in a cool band where he had a couple of hench people who were named after very famous singers.
Incorrect.
And then he called them the Banes.
He was in the band Judas Priest, famous for their song. Brick in the back. You know what? That was beneath me. That was not.
You can see Robert Clark Chan at the Alamo Draft House or many other places you'll be avoiding going forward.
Sitting here whole time just trying to think of joke bands, and that was the best I could do. So I am sorry. I have let many of you people down.
You're a little rusty after all this time away from the stage.
Yeah, you know what, and since the last time I've been here, it's been days?
Been sheer days. Madness. Absolute. in the minutes since you've last been on this show.
You know what, guys? Got a text. Stephon Thomas is available to judge whenever he needs him. So
you know what, that's
we'll
fair.
Put that on
I will
the back
say,
burner.
honestly, truly, I'm interested in this battle because I know Bane from Nightfall. Like, my drought period for comics started right after Nightfall in the 90s. And I know Ghost Spider mostly from the Across/Into the Spider-Verse movies. So there's just this huge gap of knowledge of, you know, like, everything else that Ghost Spider has done and everything else that Bane has become. I mean, he's had 30 years now to come up with all sorts of new feats and stuff that I just don't know about. So, I mean, wow me, gentlemen. Let's see what we got.
That's what the show's all about. Ray, let's do the unthinkable and wow Robert Clark Chan. Hit us with your point number one.
Point number one for Ghost Spider. Let's just talk about the basics of physicality from getting the spider powers, because we know how strong, how fast, everything about Peter Parker. Well, Gwen Stacy got that same power set when she got bit in her universe. It's basically the same spider, just in a different universe. And that means that she is exceptionally strong. People like to sleep on how ridiculously strong Spider-Man is compared to a lot of other characters who are seen as being on his level. In the Who Would Win Facebook group, which you should join if you haven't already, somebody had a terrible-looking AI picture. Well, they all are, but this one was especially bad, of Spider-Man and Captain America having an arm wrestling contest, sort of. It's what it was supposed to look like. And it's like, who would win this? And the answer is Spider-Man. Spider-Man is phenomenally stronger than Captain America, especially if you're talking about the comic book versions. He goes well above peak human, even low-level super strength. He goes right up into the 10-ton strength range, as does Gwen Stacy. She has incredible leaping power as a result as well. She can launch herself well up into the air whenever she wants to do her spider-thwipping thing and flip around the city, but she can do it in combat sense as well. Bane, around the time of Nightfall, which is, Chan, you would know, he's in only in about the 2 to 3 ton range. And when he's on Venom, he only really gets up to the 5 to 6 ton range. And so you could see how just walking in the door, Gwen Stacy is considerably stronger than a Bane who's going to use his strength, really, first and foremost. This means that she beat Rhino's butt. Just kind of pushed him up against a wall and just started punching him until he got knocked unconscious. Rhino! She knocked her version of Green Goblin all the way across the room with one hit. A thing that I've noticed from reading a lot of her scans and trying to learn as much as I can is when she hits people, they tend to go flying through walls. They tend to go knocking doors off of their hinges. She knocks somebody into like concrete or the street, and it tends to leave like a crater or a huge indention where their body is the thing that caused the rock to split. This is a level of strength that I think a lot of people sleep on with Spider-Gwen as well. And it's not just she's doing this to nobody. She did this to the Lizard, the Punisher, and a version of Kraven the Hunter as well. But her durability is also very, very strong. Let's not forget, as a Spider-Man, she can take hits from all of the different Spider-Man villains and is able to just keep on going. And Green Goblin, powerfully strong. Scorpion, powerfully strong. Dr. Octopus, huge amounts of strength in those tentacles. And she's constantly fighting people on that level. Listen, if you can take hits from Green Goblin and keep on rolling, in my mind, Bane should be a lot easier to take hits from, honestly. And the final thing is the speed. She's somebody, of course, who dodges bullets, but she doesn't just dodge bullets. She dodges a lot of bullets at very, very close range, including point-blank range with firearms. And one thing with speed that really impressed me, she fought through an entire room loaded to the brim of alternate universe Dr. Octopuses, which doesn't just mean like she's having to fight like, it was like 25 of them at least, but she has to get through all those tentacles as well. It was crazy. And I would say right now she pulled it off. She got it done because she's Spider-Gwen. And that's my point number one.
All right, let me kind of make something very clear. Spider-Gwen is Ghost Spider is a great, great character, highly underrated, even though, you know, she's getting a lot of focus, and I think it's fantastic. All of her powers are great. I can't deny that. But here's the thing. The way she uses it, based off my research, her powers are used in very, I hate using this word, but basic ways. It's not, the difference between her and I'd say Spider-Man is that Spider-Man's got this fighting style, fighting experience, different tactics, and Spider-Gwen's more of a, I hate to say it, like a
fighter level brawler, as opposed to like using a lot of finesse that Spider-Man would use. And that's something that can easily be taken advantage of by someone like Bane. I'll get into more of that later. On top of that, the power set sounds a lot like the power set of different characters that Bane has taken on and fought before. You know, the Night of Owls with these zombie like ninjas who are super powerful, super durable. You can chop into them. They just kind of come back to life because, you know, they're undead. You know, they all have very similar power sets to what you just described for Spider-Gwen or Ghost Spider, and Bane rips them apart with ease. So I'm not really sure what you presented, although it's really cool, is going to be that much of a challenge for Bane. But with that being said, let me get to my point number one. And for my point number one, let's talk about Bane's insane physical abilities. Look, you look at this guy, you know he's a powerhouse. When someone has super steroids available in the form of a venom in an instant where he can pump them into his body, it's not that surprising that his strength is literally off the charts. Look, picture this. He can rip a massive metal door right off a wall easily. He can use a full-grown man like a pair of nunchucks. Love that scan. Seriously, that's the kind of strength that we're dealing with here. In one fight, he yanked a fire hydrant out of the ground and swung it around like a mini baseball bat. That's fun. And to top it all off, he's strong enough to punch a demon's jaw clean off his face. Demons in DC Universe are actually very, very powerful. He currently lifts about 15 tons. I'd say that's where he maxes out at. And again, it's just wild what he can do with his strength. Now let's get into his speed. Bane isn't just a powerhouse. He's fast. He's agile, too. He's so quick that he can dodge Batman's batarangs like they're nothing. People have said that he moves like a blur, and even superhumans are blown away by how fast he is. They're all like, there's no way a regular human can move like that. And they're right, because Bane is not a regular human. He's in a league of his own. Does he have super speed? At most, it would be low-level super speed. And I do have to admit, he's not as fast, and his agility's not as great as, say, a Spider-Gwen or Ghost Spider. Now, his reflexes, though, may not be as great, but they are impressive. He can dodge a bullet that's already been fired at him from point-blank range, and that's really some next-level reaction time right there. When it comes to stamina, Bane is a beast as well. He can fight at full strength for at least 2 hours straight without slowing down. That's 2 hours of intense, nonstop combat, and he's still going strong. And as far as durability, Bane is tough as nails. He can take punches from superheroes like Hourman, who can lift over 50 tons and just shrug it off. He's been thrown off buildings, hit the ground hard, and gotten right back up like it was nothing. Well, he's falling off cliffs, getting tossed through the air, getting shot and stabbed. Nothing seems to slow him down. He's even taken a lightning strike and kept on going. And here's the crazy part. All of that is Bane that I just described, a lot of it without Venom. Now, when he takes that super steroid, he's operating at low-level superhuman levels. Now, by the way, again, just to be clear, the 15 tons, that's when he's on the Venom, of course. And things get really scary when that happens. When that's pumping through his veins, at this point of his career, Bane still has all of his mental, you know, facilities. It's not like the original Bane where he gets pumped up with Venom and he loses his ability to think straight and just becomes a rampaging monster. No. He's still very analytical and all that kind of good stuff. More on that, my point number two. Again, he's lifting over 15 tons with ease, which is a full, I believe, third stronger than Spider-Gwen. He's so powerful, he can take down Cheetah, who's in Wonder Woman's strength class. And let's not forget, Wonder Woman is insanely strong, so that's saying something. Bane's speed also becomes superhuman with the Venom steroid, which is really terrifying when you think of, you know, 6'8", 425 pounds, running faster than Usain Bolt, and that's really no exaggeration. Again, he's hitting super, super hard because, again, his speed goes up and his durability goes up as well. His stamina also goes up as well when on Venom. He once spent 9.5 hours fighting through Batman's entire rogues gallery, beating every single one of them. That's almost 10 hours of nonstop fighting. Again, pretty impressive, right? Really, what really takes the cake with that Venom is his durability. With everything I just mentioned, tanking, lightning, all that kind of stuff. Again, multiply that by 2 to 3 times at least, and he's that much more durable. Look, he's fallen off the massive high-rise known as Wayne Tower, fallen dozen stories to the ground in a huge crash, and walked away like it was no big deal. Explosions, they don't even faze him anymore. Most knives and bullets can't pierce his skin when the Venom's pumping through his veins. And if something does manage to get through, he just keeps going because he just doesn't feel it. Cool side effect with Venom, pain tolerance goes up, your pain sensitivity goes way, way down. And he's even been hit with, you know, I think it was 50,000 volts from a super taser, and he just laughed it off. And to make things even crazier, on top of all of that, he's got a low-level healing factor when he's on Venom. It's not a Deadpool level. It's not even a Deathstroke level, but he does recover from stuff like wounds, gunshots, pretty much anything else, super fast within the fight itself. Will it take him 10 to 15, maybe even 20 minutes to heal completely from a bullet wound? Yes. But that still enables him to keep on going in the fight. It's not going to keep him down. All of that, and I'm just getting started, is my point number one.
I mean, okay, that's fine. Look, I like Bane a lot. He's a great character. I love when he broke the bat. It's a very fun issue and a redemption story and a comeback story. It's a lot like watching Rocky III, but in comic books form. Anyway, through all of this, I would agree that Bane has trained more in combat than Ghost Spider, for sure, but she has a great improvisational ability that Bane doesn't have. Bane knows what he wants to try to do and then does it. Whereas Ghost Spider kind of takes in the situation, the environment, what she knows about the villain, and then she can kind of bounce around and then figure it out on the fly, which she has shown the ability to do over and over and over again. And you said Bane's enemies have the strength and power level as Gwen Stacy. I highly disagree with that. He fights the Bat family, who very famously, James, I don't know if you know this about Batman and his crew in the comics, they don't have powers, typically. So he is not used to fighting somebody that is his strength equal or even master like Gwen Stacy is. And you mentioned that Bane defeated some, like, zombies. Carol from The Walking Dead kills zombies, so he's at least as potent as Carol from The Walking Dead. Look, less weight, sure, but in a crossover between Marvel and DC, Captain America went one-on-one with Bane in a random encounter and slapped him silly. And we've already established that the spiders got a lot more strength than Captain America.
Wait. You're actually seriously putting down Carol from The Walking Dead?
Not to her
Carol,
face.
Carol, who's pretty much has super invincibility in terms of survival ability. Okay.
She has Vin Diesel's power from Fast and the Furious. I'm not denying that. But as a physical specimen, you'd think Bane could do a little better.
Well, also, that fight against Captain America, remember that shield really came into play because Bane had Captain America up in the air about to break him like Batman. So it's all good.
Didn't last long, though.
It's all good. Listen, let's see what the judge has to say. Robert Clark Chan, you've heard one point from both Ray and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
It's pretty close. Certainly sounds like, obviously, Bane is going to be on Venom. So sounds like he's stronger than Ghost Spider. Definitely not as fast. She can definitely move out of the way. But he does have fighting skill. And, I mean, again, if I recall, Batman did a lot of dodging. And then eventually Bane caught him. So, you know, I feel like right now, giving a little bit of the edge to Bane, but still ways to go. So, yeah, see how it goes.
You know, here's the thing. Robert Clark Chan is judging this very fairly, but Raisa Kanis' daughter's birthday wishes are on the line. Will Ray prevail or will he fall flat and disappoint a young child yet again? Stay tuned for more. We'll be right back for point number two.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big money at
And we're back. Ray, let's see what you got. Here's your point number two.
You know, as I start point number two, I just want to mention that, you know, I looked up where you got higher strength. I knew you would find something somewhere, but the truth with Bane is that he can get up to 15 tons worth of strength at the literal max level he can get with Venom. In a chance encounter in a neutral location, is Bane assumed to walk around with the absolute max amount of venom physically possible to put into him before he starts degrading? I would argue that no, so he actually is not going to reach up as strong as Ghost Spider does. Because I saw what happened in NFL Super Pro Issue 1, where the guy took too many steroids and turned into a giant amorphous blob. And if Bane turns into that, it's short work, that's all. But let's talk about Spider-Man level powers. Beyond the physicality, she's got spider sense. Bane has no chance to surprise her with any attack, any move at all. And as you said, Robert Clark Chan, she's much faster than he is given the superpowers, right? So she's going to be able to zip around, be uncatchable, be unhittable against a guy like Bane. And even if he tries to do something surprise, she's going to get that flash in her head and dodge out of the way. She foresaw Vulture crashing through the window of the office building, or maybe apartment building that she was in time to duck and get everybody out of the way. She was able to no-look use her web ability on a guy's gun who was pointed at her from behind. She didn't even know he was there, got the spider sense, put her hand over her shoulder and thwapped his gun away from him. That's impressive. Of course she could do wall crawling as well. She is much more mobile than Bane is, who's stuck on the ground. You know, he's got a ground and pound approach, much like The Rock in Pain and Gain, of course, Academy Award considered movie. And she has a huge mobility factor. She can walk on walls, walk on the ceiling, jump very high, get away from him and come at him from a variety of angles with her speed and her great strength that he's not going to see coming. And not to mention the web shooters, of course. Her web shooters, because she's not the scientific genius of Peter Parker, who could build his own, those were given to her by none other than Janet Van Dyne, who is the Wasp, who is a scientific genius in her world. That's how they got around it. Well, she was able to use these web shooters to tie up Miles Morales. We've heard of him. He's another Spider-Man. Perhaps you've heard. She's also been able to take a version of Green Goblin and web a stick Green Goblin's hands to the glider that they were on, and they couldn't free themselves particularly quickly. The thing is that I noticed, even with super strong characters, Ghost Spider's webbing is ridiculously strong and could hold them in place for an extended period of time and incapacitate them in phenomenal ways. Guys like Kane Parker, that's an alternate version of Spider-Man from an alternate universe. That's all you need to know. But he's a buffer Spider-Man, basically. And he couldn't bust out easily from these webs. Not to mention, she used her webs offensively. She stole Captain America's shield out of his hand. Speaking of Cap, spun it around and hit him with it as a weapon. Fantastic. She also loves to web people's arms and hands to the wall in order to incapacitate them. It's a move that she's done over and over and over again, and it's her favorite way, especially people who are carrying weapons. But she uses the webbing creatively as well, not just straightforward. She often uses it, she'll spin a giant web to use as a shield to protect herself, or stretch it across the ground on characters like Bane in order to trip them, because it is strong and they're not just going to kick their way through it. She's going to take them off balance with that. Not to mention her detective abilities I mentioned before. Let's face it, Venom's got this giant thing on his back with tubes that go directly into his body with green crap in it, right? She's going to notice that. She's going to think something's up. She will know to attack the tubes with the webbing or her strength or something else we'll talk about. And I feel like once he gets depowered, once you cut off that supply of Venom, he gets real weak real quick. Also, last point, she knows how to fight against enemies stronger than herself. Not that I think Bane is. She attacked Venom. We know Venom, he's pretty tough. Well, she hit him from behind with a parking meter. You want to talk about using an improvisational weapon. Grabbed a parking meter out of the ground, hit him in the back of the head with it, and knocked him out for a period of time. Phenomenal. She also said, I know how to fight enemies stronger than myself, like the symbiote Venom that I am fighting right now. That's to keep a distance from them and hit them with something other than your fist. She has a strategy to beat Bane, and gosh willing, I think it's going to work. And that's my point number two.
I hate to push back on this. Again, you're doing a great job, Ray, but here's the deal. Now, before I kind of go in with my rebuttal to kind of talk a little bit about what you said before, Bane has a lot of Venom on him at all times, and he can regulate how much he's going to take at any moment. So if he really does need to kind of go there and max out, he can do it within a second or two. Typically, he doesn't have to, but if he needs it, it's going to happen, and he's got access to it whenever he wants. Look, Bane can break through metal handcuffs. Batman doesn't have anything to tie up Bane, which is really impressive because that's what Batman has for superhumans, is ways to incapacitate them, tie them up, whatever. And Batman doesn't even answer for Bane, someone who he knows and can prepare for. And webbing's not going to be a big deal because the tensile strength is strong, but Bane can break through it, especially that 15 tons thing. If you web Bane to something, he's just going to break it off and then use whatever it is he's attached with the web to fight you with it. And on top of that, fun fact, Venom within Bane's system lasts for another 6 hours. So even if Bane, like, you somehow, he doesn't use tubes all the time as delivery system. He's got a different tubeless delivery system. So even if you somehow damage it, you know, or if he's got Venom in his system and then you're like, hey, I'm cutting it off, well, it's still there for at least another 6 hours. Plenty of time to win this fight. All right, let me get to my point number two. For my point number two, let's just talk about some fun facts. And the funnest fact of all about Bane is that he's much stronger mentally than he is physically. Let me explain. When you first see Bane in action, you know, smashing through obstacles and opponents, you know, it's easy to forget just how sharp and savvy and tactical he really is. But you really shouldn't make, you know, mistake this, because his intellect is just as powerful as his physicality. And that's what really sets him apart from the likes of Ghost Spider, you know, and her usual foes. So just how smart is Bane? I've said it before, his IQ is listed at 187. Just to give you some context, Einstein's IQ was estimated to be somewhere between 160 and 180, and Bane's intelligence isn't just this theoretical kind of thing either. In prison, he taught himself a range of scientific disciplines to the level of leading experts, making him officially one of Batman's most intelligent and dangerous enemies. Bane's intelligence, his intellect, it's so sharp. He once beat Ra's al Ghul, you know, that immortal villain who's lived 600 years, immortal genius, what have you. Batman, probably most dangerous enemy. And he beat him at chess, and he didn't just win. He used chess strategies he invented himself. That's crazy. Bane's not just a brawler. He's really not a brawler. He's a polymath, which means he's fluent in multiple disciplines, languages, and what have you, science, mathematics. But he's also memorized the contents of countless encyclopedias. He's got a photographic memory. It allows him to recall any situation, any fight or encounter with perfect detail. That means all of his fighting experience, by the way, all of it is right there, ready for him to use whenever he needs it. His powers of observation deduction are off the charts, too. Bane could tell Batman was injured just by the way he walked. Not only that, he could pinpoint exactly what the injuries were. When he met Alfred for the first time, Bane immediately knew he was ex-military. So do you really think it's going to take him long to figure out Spider-Gwen's abilities? And on the flip side, how quickly do you think Spider-Gwen's going to figure out Bane? Spider-Gwen's going to look at Bane and say, like, wow, big, huge, strong guy. Got it. I fought someone like this. And completely underestimate his intellect, his tactics, and his strategies. Bane also has superhuman mental strength and willpower. He's not going to give up. And even if he's, like, overpowered, whatever, maybe if it happens, he's just going to find a way to fight through all of it. Look, he overcame Scarecrow's fear toxin, which has messed up even the strongest minds, including Batman, Green Lantern, Hal Jordan. You know, as a kid, this is crazy. As a kid, Bane survived alone in one of the most dangerous prisons on Earth. And not only did he survive, he freaking took over the place. That's mental toughness on a completely different level. Bane's scientific mind, you know, it's just as impressive. He figured out how to remove, like, the bulky tubes, that delivery system of Venom, and replaced it with this crazy, like, subdermal injection system. It's so small, it fits inside his mask and parts of his body. So there's no more big tubes running from his wrist to the back of his head, just a sleek, efficient system. And when it comes to fighting, Bane, this is crazy, is self-taught. Not only he's mastered numerous fighting styles, he also, this is crazy, created several forms of martial arts. He's one of the best strategists and tacticians on the planet. Bane has studied every major book on battle tactics, from the Art of War, the Book of Five Rings. Strategy is his ultimate specialty. And let's not forget, he's a master of firearms. He's an excellent marksman. He can use improvised weapons like no one's business. You know, this is someone, just put in perspective, whose mom, he was born to his mom. His mom's in prison. Bane then had to serve that prison. Bane's mom dies in prison when he's six. And that's when his horrific life even takes a worse downturn. These are the roots of Bane. And on top of that, you know, the super soldier serum that Bane took, that had, you know, when he first took it, that was insanely painful. He had overcome that. He's just this ruthless human being. He doesn't just fight to win. He fights to send a message, a brutal one. Even Batman warned people not to rely on Bane's mercy, because Bane has none. That was when a really weird Batman-Bane team up. The bottom line is this, okay? Bane's intellect, his strategic genius, give him a serious edge in this fight. Bane is a known master planner, but he also is a great genius-level fighter when it's an impromptu, random encounter battle, who would win style. Look, he spent years mastering science, tactics, multiple forms of combat, make him incredibly dangerous. Even before he throws a punch, Spider-Gwen, Ghost Spider, look, she's agile, she's strong. She doesn't have the same level of combat experience or tactical know-how as Bane. Her spider powers are awesome. They can't fully make up for her lack of experience. And add that to the fact that Bane knows how to quickly recognize and exploit an opponent's weaknesses, even spider senses. Look, she's going to get overrun by Bane's intellect coupled with his insane physicality, doubled up with his fighting style. All that's my point number two.
No chance that happens at all, please. Now, as I've said before many times, and I've learned this from my stint as a professional wrestler, extended stint, honestly, if you think about it, if no one trained you, you are untrained. You don't just get to invent your own fighting style and then think it's going to like be great. It just means you made up something in your head without the ability of someone who knows more than you to tell you how dumb it is. That's all it means. He's a backyard wrestler at the end of the day is what I just heard you say. And let's talk about some of the people that have defeated Bane, because obviously if what you said is so obvious, why has he been defeated by so many depowered, unpowered characters? He got knocked out by Wildcat. Now I like Wildcat, a boxer, dresses in a cat outfit. What isn't there to love? But he knocked Bane unconscious. Also has been beaten by Nightwing. He's been beaten by Batwoman. He's been beaten by Catwoman. He got defeated by Tim Drake's Robin. He got beat by a Robin, James. And everybody forgets the first person who ever beat Bane wasn't Bruce Wayne Batman. It was Azrael Batman. And the way that he was able to beat Bane is because he was a little bit rougher. He was willing to quote unquote go there, I guess. But he attacked him with unconventional weapons that Bane wasn't prepared for. You know, like web shooters, for example. I think Ghost Spider has this locked up.
Interesting stuff, Race to Canis. You know, this is really cool because you're presenting good stuff. I'm presenting good stuff. Let's see what the judge has, because we're at the turning point. Robert, you've had a moment to ponder 2 points from both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
Ghost Spider, as far as I'm concerned, has the edge in terms of powers, in terms of physicality, all told. Bane just seems like, I'm a little wary of inventing one's own martial arts. Sounds a little sus to me, but the man knows how to fight and he knows how to strategize. And Spider-Gwen, for, you know, like all of her amazing talents and whatnot, like that's not our forte. That's not what she's been focusing on since her mom died when she was in a prison at 6 or something like that. So, like, yeah, that mental game, the strategy game, is definitely on lock for Bane. I don't really know at this point. It's back to a toss-up. I feel like I really need to hear from Ray how Ghost Spider's gonna exploit Bane's weaknesses, because it makes perfect sense that she would go for the tubes or whatever, but he hasn't got tubes anymore. So, you know, like how is she going to get around the chess game that Bane is playing? And I'm not too swayed by who's beat you, because if you've been in comics long enough, Irving Forbish is going to beat you. It's just, eventually it's going to happen in some issue somewhere, but he is a guy who, you know, can be easily, you know, taken down by low level heroes. So Gwen definitely has a shot. How is he going to, in this impromptu situation, because he broke Batman's back, but he'd been planning that for a while. When he runs into Spider-Gwen, who can bounce around and can improvise, you know, how is he going to beat all of her powers?
This is good. This is a really close battle. I can see where you're coming from, Robert Clark Chan. I think I got an answer to all of this, though, but we'll see, because this battle's heating up. We'll be right back for point number three.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Ray, now or never. Hit us with your point number three.
Point number three for Gwen Stacy, a.k.a. Spider-Gwen, a.k.a. Ghost Spider. First off, to answer your question, Robert Clark Chan, Ghost Spider's going to beat Bane the same way Catwoman did. She's going to be a little bit faster. She's going to be a little bit smarter and savvier. And she's going to be a little bit trickier. Except she's going to do it with a massive power spike from where Catwoman comes from. I mean, look, she's going to be coming with the webs. She's going to be absolutely able to incapacitate him by just starting with putting his legs on the floor and then hitting his hands and having him be up against a wall, right? And just holding him in place and then punching him unconscious like she did to Rhino, who is a similar physical specimen. She doesn't necessarily have to do anything fancy. She just has to be tricky enough in a first encounter that Bane won't see it coming and therefore will be able to get hit by it. How does Nightwing beat him time after time after time? Through great improvisation and knowing that he's fighting a strong guy, he doesn't want to get his hands on him. Anyway, let's talk about other things because Gwen Stacy has a multiversal watch. She has a watch that can communicate across the multiverse to bring in, I believe, other versions of Gwen Stacy who are also heroes to help her. I'm not going to lean on this too heavily because outside interference, but if it's you, I'd like to believe that should be on the table. She's also fought a much greater variety of enemies than Bane. Look who all these people that have fought Bane, right? They're all just members of the Bat family who have gadgets, acrobatics, and planning. No powers, right? You don't really hear James talking a lot about all of these big superpowered characters that Bane has fought because it's the same handful of depowered characters. I would make the argument, and will right now, that Bane versus somebody who's his own physical specimen is going to be it's going to be a hard win for him, quite honestly. Meanwhile, Gwen Stacy has fought superpowered versions of herself across the multiverse. She fought an all-Gwen Stacy Sinister Six, including such versions as Gwen Craven the Hunter, Gwen Octopus, Sandman Gwen, Vulture Gwen, and Rhino Gwen. So Gwen's been busy. And she's fought a variety of villains, unlike Bane, who keeps fighting the same guy in different spandex, basically. But not just that. Gwen has merged with a symbiote not long after her creation. It's been actually longer than she hasn't had it. And she is now known as Gwenom. Now, you talk about Bane needing venom. Well, I would argue that Gwen has her own version that's much, much stronger. Now, he is synthetic. He's made of gummy spiders. But he acts... Yes, he's made of gummy spiders. Don't ask me how it works. That's comic books. But she has a synthetic symbiote that has merged with her body and creates her outfit now. And it acts as a secondary spider sense. Not only does she have the initial spider sense that we know about, but the symbiote suit, you know, being what it is, also has a spider sense of its own. And it's even maybe stronger than hers or notices different things. Because it will point things out to her that her original spider sense didn't even notice. So it's essentially like she's got two things, both giving information to one to use seamlessly in a whim. It also gained the regeneration powers of the lizard, which is probably stronger than the healing factor that Bane now has. But it could also do venom stuff, right? It could make claws. She has very, very sharp claws that could cut Bane or cut the venom tubes that go into Bane. And do it easily and from a distance, right? And it also greatly enhances her stealth. With the symbiote on, she snuck up on none other than Matt Murdock. How do you sneak up on Daredevil, who has the deepest enhanced senses on the planet? It also gives her an active camo like the Predator, which makes her nearly impossible to make out, especially in a darker environment. But the symbiote can grow wings and allow her to fly as well. I talked about mobility earlier. I was only telling you half the story. She was able to use this Venom symbiote to take down none other than Susan Storm, the Invisible Woman, who many people argue can't be beat. Well, Gwenom beat her. Effectively, this allows her to do her own level of attacks, while a second protruding eminence from her body is also reaching out with elongated dulcine tendrils and doing second rows of attacks as well. How does Bane lose in comics? I laid it out by being hit with things he doesn't expect. This is going to blow his mind and knock him out. And that's my point number three.
All right, here's the thing. I got to push back on some of your facts. I love how you brought Catwoman into this. So when Catwoman beat Bane, Bane was standing naked, of course. I don't know why that was a thing. He had just fought with Batman. I think he got the better of Batman, and he was kind of going through this psychological process, which is standing there questioning the world, having a Shakespearean moment. And Catwoman came in from behind and insanely drop kicked him in the spine to try to take him down. I'm not putting that against Catwoman, but I'm saying that's how she did it. It wasn't like a one-on-one fight and she took out Bane. If I'm recalling the right,
I'm hearing that stealth works.
Yeah. While you're doing a Shakespearean kind of play and someone drop kicks you in the back, you gotta be naked for tour. I don't know how it all works. That watch that she wears is really cool. Don't think that's standard issue. Don't really think that's going to be a thing for the fight. Look, I'm going to kind of get into this, but Bane has fought a lot more than just regular humans, such as the Bat family. He's actually fought opponents that may be even way more powerful than the opponents Gwen has had to face, and he's beaten them as well. Let me just jump into my point number three. For my point number three, again, we're going to talk about the big wins for Bane and Spider-Gwen's major weaknesses. So, you know, Bane has a long list of opponents he's beaten. Robert Clark Kent, you're right about this. He took down Killer Croc. This is a Batman villain with superhuman strength and durability who is cursed with a race to Canis type of skin condition. He's even beaten demons from hell. Those insanely powerful beings didn't stand a chance against Bane's strength and skill. I mentioned that earlier. Bane also easily defeated, at the same time, Solomon Grundy and a character named Amygdala. Very rhino-like people, except there was two of them. And they're villains that are known for their insane super strength durability. And for most superpower types, they're unstoppable, but Bane made it look easy. He's also taken down, of course, Red Robin, Red Hood, and Nightwing all at the same time. That's no small feat, considering each of them is a top-tier fighter from Batman's family and can each take down superpowered opponents on their own. But Bane didn't stop there. He went up against a huge number of members of the League of Assassins, some of the deadliest assassins in the DC Universe. He beat them all at once. In the Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover, Bane faced off against all four Turtles, Shredder, and Batman at the same time and came out on top. Bane also beat a character with very similar powers to Venom in the DC Universe, someone named Clayface, who can duplicate pretty much everything Venom can do and just do a whole lot more. And Bane beat him in a one-on-one fight, so encountering a Venom-infused Spidey-Gwen won't be anything new for Bane. Of course, Bane has also beaten Batman, both when he's on Venom and when he's not, because that's just what Bane does. But it gets even better. He beat a character named Wonder Girl. Now, if you're wondering, Wonder Girl is in the same power class as Wonder Woman. She's one of the Teen Titans' heavy hitters with her super strength, durability, and flight. And Bane used her inexperienced fighting experience against her. And with his fighting ability and tactics, he actually managed to overpower Wonder Girl and beat her in a one-on-one fight. That's insane. He beat Beast Boy, who can transform into any animal, creature, mythical monster you can think of. But Bane doesn't get thrown off by that because in their fight, Beast Boy is known for being highly unpredictable, turning into a dragon, then a horde of bees, whatever it is. Somehow Bane actually predicted Beast Boy's transformations and countered them with his, superior combat skills. Despite Beast Boy's versatility, because he's insanely versatile, Bane just had this strategy and these tactics that got him the win. But here's a big one. Bane beat Superboy, the young clone version of Superman. In case you missed it, Superboy brings Kryptonian-level strength and telekinesis to the table, and Bane isn't intimidated by any of that, of course, because he's Bane. And by playing on Superboy's overconfidence and lack of fighting experience, see where I'm going with this, and fighting ability, Bane beat him in a fight as well. Look, the bottom line is that Bane does great when he's fighting opponents who, despite being way more powerful than him, can't match him in the department of fighting skill, fighting experience, and strategy. That's this case right here. Now, in terms of weaknesses, Spider-Gwen has a few. As opposed to Bane, again, she has very limited combat experience and fighting ability, which we saw when she was defeated by a group of ninjas called the Hand in the Spider-Gwen Annual Number 1 comic book. In this issue, Gwen finds herself, outmatched by the ninja assassins of the Hand. And even with her powers, she still struggled to keep up with her ninja combat skills and coordination. And again, her limited to non-existent training in martial arts and fighting just made it difficult for her to counter anything they were doing, leading her to losing the fight and forcing her to retreat because she had no choice. Now, look, when you put Bane in that same situation with superpowered ninja trained assassins like the, Talon, Court of Owls, Bane easily beats them all. That's just a thing. Now, look, in another random encounter, Spider-Gwen battles the Punisher from her universe and, again, loses because she is simply outfought by a regular non-superpowered human with combat training. And if she has a symbiote, well, she would still lose as the symbiote somehow overpowers her and makes her more susceptible to making very horrible decisions in a fight, which is why she's lost to characters such as Man-Wolf, who is like a werewolf, who used to be a guy. She lost with Venom, the Venom symbiote. She lost to another group of ninjas sent by Matt Murdock. who is in this world the mobster known as the kingpin of that earth. Don't know how it works, it just did. Look, see, in this battle, it's not power versus power. It's Bane's strategies, fighting ability, and fighting experience versus Spider-Gwen's or Ghost Spider's lack of all those things, which have led her directly to many, many losses with the Venom symbiote and without. That's why, despite even being more powerful than Bane, Spider-Gwen, aka Gwen Stacy, still loses. All of that is my point number three.
I mean, nice try. Absolutely. You mentioned, he defeated the Punisher. I mean, come on. He's defeated a lot of non-powered characters, and this is my entire point. And your point with Solomon Grundy, look, there's a comic book. I found two instances of them fighting because I thought that was weird. I didn't see it originally. One is in the Arkham universe of video games where they fought and Bane got his butt handed to him. Another time is in the deceased zombie DC Comics universe where Solomon Grundy again kicked Bane's butt. And then there's this other comic where Bane got fully hopped up and fought the inmates at Arkham Asylum who were just like wearing prison clothes and they weren't expecting anything. And I guess he beat Solomon Grundy there when they were trying to put him over. But this is the weakest form of Solomon Grundy I've ever seen in my entire life. Now, the point I'm trying to make here is I think the stealth angle is absolutely going to work. You said it before. Bane might be a little bit too smart. He is going to start monologuing if he thinks things are going well. Smart people often get in their own way and cause failure to be clutched from the jaws of victory. And Bane seems exactly like this guy. He had one good plan, made it happen, defeated Batman, broke his back. And since then, it's been a litany of losses at the end of the day. I think Ghost Spider, a.k.a. Gwen Stacy, a.k.a. Gwenom, is absolutely going to be able to surprise Bane with the webs that he's not going to be able to be prepared for or expect. He's going to get surprised by it. And as Azrael did to him, the surprise is what's going to beat him, right? At the end of the day, plus the strength of the spider webs, I think absolutely will be able to, at minimum, incapacitate him. I think hold him down and let Gwen Stacy, who's his physical equal, punch the living bejesus out of him. Well, he cannot defend himself. You can make up your own martial arts all you want to. If your hands are stuck to the ground, you're getting your butt handed to you. And through all of this, I absolutely think Ghost Spider gets this win.
I mean, that's a new level of measurement, the bejesus.
You don't want the bejesus knocked out of you, that's for no. Sure.
Robert, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself. It's time for you to make a decision. But before we get to what Robert has to say, let's celebrate the Hoodwin Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Hoodwin Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today, we have a very special and honored patron of the week. Today's patron of the week is Emmett Majerasik. I don't know how to say it, but he's a new member and we're going to honor Emmett on this day.
Emmett, you sound like a powerful individual. You sound like you're insanely savvy when it comes to fighting tactics. So I'm going to think outside the box. Let's have Emmett go against, let's do it, the mutated overgrown taste bud from McDonald's. Emmett, you're fighting Grimace.
Wow. Emmett Majerasik. I bet you that's how you pronounce it. Emmett, of course, is going to go up against Grimace, who is he's like the Blob, right? In Marvel Comics. You can't really hurt Grimace by punching him because he's a giant taste bud. He's just going to taste the salt on your knuckles. And he's going to be like, this guy's delicious. I'm going to go and I'm going to eat this guy after I grab him and fall to the floor on top of him. And I weigh like 2,000 pounds. And Emmett will not be able to overcome that. And unfortunately for Emmett, not the best fighter. He's more of a tactical thinker. And Grimace is going to grab him and he's just going to fall forwards. And he's going to incapacitate Emmett. But Emmett has the same power set as another Emmett from fiction. That would, of course, be Emmett from the Lego movies. He is a Lego master, and while Grimace is on top of him, he's going to reach into his pocket, pull out a bunch of Legos, and create a catapult. And while Grimace is on top of him, he is going to launch Grimace with this catapult 3 counties away and win by battlefield removal. Emmett, congratulations, you pulled it off.
I never saw that coming. Well done, Emmett. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Look, Robert, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process. Tell us the story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Spider-Gwen, a.k.a. Ghost Spider, and Bane.
Well, you
gave some delightful imagery near the end there, James. So I feel like this battle will absolutely start out with Bane, having recently just fought Batman, standing stark naked, monologuing to himself. Don't know why. Guess it's just a comfortable thing to do. He's in his own darn house, so why wouldn't he? And I will give that first shot to Gwen. She's gonna, try and break his back like Catwoman did. Not gonna do it. He's got a strong back. Even in his unvenomated form. And we're going to get a big, long, drawn-out fight because, obviously, Bane is going to try and just punch her. Just hit her real hard, just like he knocks demon jaws off of demons. You know, he's going to hit her, and Ghost Spider's going to do what she does, which is dodge, dodge, dodge. He's going to start flinging things at her. He's going to rip doors off of hinges. He's going to rip hydrants out of streets. We're back out on the street. Yes, he's still naked, and he's still throwing huge metal objects at her. Gwen is dodging them. Gwen is webbing them and flinging them back at him. I think we have a detente in terms of just straight up fighting. At the brawling level, they're pretty well matched. One's a little stronger, one's a little faster. So Gwen is going to go to her webs, as she should. She's going to try and web him to a wall, web him to the ground, get sticky stuff all over the ground, just like he's sticking in gum, only it's a human-sized spider, which many of my nightmares are populated with. So, I feel for Bane in that moment. And Bane will get stuck, but I think we're not even to the level of him starting to use venom yet. And once he does that, he's going to be able to get out of the webbing. She's going to have a lot of it. And so it's going to be a constant threat there, holding him down, slowing him down. But venomed Bane, I think, is going to be able to avoid the worst of it. And he's going to, try and get in close. Gwen is going to try and stay far away. She made it through a room full of Doc Ocks, which speaks very well to her agility. Don't know. Apparently, she doesn't do great against rooms full of assassins, which guess Bane has done well at. Beat a whole bunch of League of Assassins. Although I think, as we all know, one ninja, i.e. a Snake Eyes, is the deadliest thing on the planet. 10 ninjas are inversely strong. They get weaker and weaker the more of them, the multiple ninja rule. So honestly, I'm not that impressed that Bane could do that. I am impressed that Bane can beat Wonder Girl. I'm impressed that Bane can beat Superboy. Both of these are people that I think are probably more powerful, more powers than Ghost Spider. And he will be able to use psychology to get her in close so that he can grab her. And that's going to negate most of her power. Primarily, she's getting by on speed. She's getting by with the spider sense. And, he can't lay a hand on her, but eventually Bane will lay a hand on her. That active camouflage is not going to help. She's going to be relying on her regeneration, which is not as strong as, or rather, Bane's is not as strong as. So, in the bear hug, she's going to give a couple of those good headbutts to the bridge of the nose, which is going to hurt. It's going to hurt Bane a lot, but it's not going to take him out. He's going to keep squeezing her. And once he's hopped up on Venom and he's got his arms around her, there's really nothing that Ghost Spider can do until the symbiote whips out its wings, wraps him around Bane's neck. And it's the symbiote at the very last, I think, that puts Ghost Spider over. Ghost Spider beats Bane.
Wow. That was like a last minute save. I'm trying to process this. Do I agree with it? Do I not agree with it? Do I think the symbiote would come out sooner and Bane would be like, God, it's kind of got like a Clayface thing. I don't know if I agree with this one, Robert Clark Chan. I do like the story.
You, You compared Clayface to Venom. And that is some C-tiered nonsense up against like an A-class character. So, you know what? Did that factor into my decision? Maybe. Maybe. I guess you'll have to listen to The Third Degree to find out. Subscribe on Patreon, everybody.
Wow. All right. You know what? Listen, I'm not happy I didn't get the win. I'm not even sure I agree with the decision, but I am happy that there's a little girl out there who got a great birthday present from her dad. Race to Canis. Congratulations. You did it. You saved the day. What a great dad you are. You got the win. Tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, how you feel at this moment.
I have to be honest with the people at home. While it is in fact true that my child's birthday is this weekend and she's turning the age of 7, I'll say it out loud. She's turning 7 this weekend. I have to come clean. That is not why I wanted to win this episode today. I wanted to win because I'm the best. I wanted to win because I am driven. Driven like a crypto bro is to post on social media to win Who Would Win show battles. It's what I live for. It's what I live and breathe to do. So while I'm very, very excited that Ghost Spider is my child's favorite character in all of fiction, and I am excited that this is a wonderful birthday present for her, at the end of the day, this is a present for me. Because I earned it. I deserved it. I lost the episode that I recorded on my own birthday, and this is the way I get my heat back. This is the way. This is the way, to quote The Mandalorian.
Way to take something so wholesome. I mean, I thought we were going to see a whole new race to Canis. I was asking myself, am I the new villain of the show? Am I the new person that people are going to hate? Am I the... No, clearly not. Race to Canis took a wholesome, family-friendly, Hallmark Channel type of vibe for the show, came out triumphant, did what a great dad, and just rips all of that apart and spits on it and says, it's all about me. All I got to say, it's classic Race to Canis. However, Robert Clark Chan, you did do a great job being the judge, despite, I don't know if I said this, me disagreeing with your verdict, but again, you laid it all out, you weighed it perfectly, you did what you did. Please come back to the Who'd Win show. You are a fan favorite for a reason. In the meantime, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you.
I just want to make clear that I did not do this for Ray's daughter. Seven-year-olds, all seven-year-olds, are the worst, the absolute worst. And I'm probably going to believe that until my child turns 8, at which point likely it will be 8-year-olds who are the worst. And the fact that they're 2 months apart from each other. I'm sorry. All of my frustrations for my child are going to be put onto your child, Ray. That's just the way it's going to be. Check out my podcast, Knowing South the Podcast, AE Double Back. If you're in the Los Angeles area, I believe in September, we're going to be doing Super Dating Simulator over the Alamo Draft House. I'll be doing a couple episodes of This Week at the Open Fist Theater in Glendale. So check those out.
Very cool. Ray Sicanus, you got a win of sorts, I guess, for the episode, but then got a massive loss in terms of overall humanity. Tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
I don't care about any of that. I am here to do one thing, and that is dominate on a week-to-week basis, and I've done it. I don't care what pretense I need to come up with to gain the idiot's sympathy. I'm here to win, and they need to be better, but they can't be, because I'm the best. Thank you. You should check out This Week. It's a wonderful, politically-based sketch comedy show that my wife, every once in a blue moon, also performs in. So look up This Week, comedy show Los Angeles, and make it part of your comedy rotation. If you live in and around the greater Los Angeles area, you can see a lot of very talented people associated with that show. Plug over, it was an obligation once Chan put it into the conversation. The point through all of this is, of course, we're going to celebrate. You can catch me on Threads, the only social media site you should be on, at AlmightyRay316. Hey, all of you on Patreon, Patreon.com/WhoWouldWinShow. I saw you when the battle was announced, and I saw how many of you, it was a few, who said they were rooting for Gwen Stacy to win this battle, but they thought Bane was going to take it. And I'm here to say, don't worry, Ray's got you this week. Ray's got you every week. The judges don't always have you. James definitely doesn't have you. He said to himself on this episode, oh, is this the one where James is the hated villain? And I felt like that outer space meme with the two astronauts, and I'm standing behind James with a pistol, and I say, always has been. Always has been. Happy birthday, boo. I'm out.
Don't know what happened right there. You can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsy. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. This thing's growing insanely fast. Definitely join up. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Cicanus, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Hey, gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and loved listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/WhoWouldWinShow right now. Okay, got to prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Remember crying when Optimus Prime died?
Or the days when every series had a ham-fisted anti-drug episode?
Or when you wrote fan fiction about how the Animaniac were so hot in that water tower so they took off all their clothes and they started...
No!
No, different podcast.
This one is Knowing is Half the Podcast, a show devoted to the best and worst animated memories of your childhood.
Every week we recap a cartoon from the past to see if they're as good as you remember.
They're not.
What are you talking about? They're great!
You're both wrong. None of them get good until they're in a water tower.
No!
And Knowing is Half the Podcast.